Thank you so much for listening. I'm Comic Tom, and this is the Bags and Boards Podcast. We are a group of collectors, enthusiasts, fans, entrepreneurs, and content creators who all love comic books. I hope you find our content unique and different. This podcast is sponsored by Mill Geek Comics, a brick and mortar out here in Washington State, as well as Geek Street Comics. If you're in need of a local comic shop, Mill Geek Comics is happy to supply any of your monthly comic book needs and ships across country and worldwide. We also have a comic book subscription service, the Mystery Mail Call, where I, Comic Tom, have the pleasure of sending out collectible comics monthly to you. You can sign up for that at geekstreet101.com. You can watch these podcasts on YouTube at ComicTom101. Follow me on all my social media platforms at ComicTom101. You're good to start us off?
Yep, this is issue number 39 of the Silver Surfer. It was not originally included in the overall outline for the Infinity Gauntlet. And after reading it, it is actually extremely clear as to why.
My least favorite issue I've read of Silver Surfer so far.
Yeah, me too. Even least favorite than Impossible Man, which was, that was my low bar before this. So this one starts out, Silver Surfer is like flying through space. And it's like he didn't even have this confrontation with Thanos in the last issue. None of that matters. He doesn't have his body. He's not going back to Titan to talk to Mentor. He's not doing any of that. He's just flying around. And he happens to fly over this planet, and he looks down and sees, like, a big gladiator match happening. And he's like, I'm going to stop this, because I got nothing better to do, apparently. Just flying around. So he goes down there, and he's like, hey, you guys, knock this off. And they're like, no. And a big fight happens. And so he's like, oh, you're right. I guess I should just go.
And that's it.
And that's it.
That's it.
We kind of condensed that a little bit, but
there's some other things that happen here or there, but this was definitely like, hey, shoot, Jim isn't here for 39. We're getting him back in 40. Who can we get to pump out a quick issue?
One little quick filler issue with a bunch of action in it, which is kind of what's been missing up until now. That's one of the few redeeming things about this issue. There's a lot of action and fights. If that's your thing, you're covered in 39 in a way that you were not covered in issues 34 through 38 that we have already gone through.
Definitely.
Those were a little more cerebral, which I prefer.
Definitely.
Personally.
I definitely missed it. Why don't we look at the Bible? What does the Bible say? The Overstreet Silver Price Surfer, Guide, 47th edition, 2018 comic book price guide.
As current as it gets, Silver Surfer 39, it says it is a $4 book for near mint. So
9.2?
Yep.
That's okay.
Dollar bin trash.
And does it have any other notes on there?
No. Alan Grant, scripts.
That's right.
Alan Grant wrote it, and the artist was James T. Sherman. So they got a different writer, different artist for this kind of fill-in issue, basically. Right.
So $4 price at 9.2 is essentially what we're talking about as a dollar bin book. This is a cheap book, and it's not surprising, because this is in between Thanos, Silver Surfer goodness, Infinity Gauntlet goodness. Mm-hmm. It is nothing to do with the storyline, or rather the saga that this, that these issues are all taking place in. The recent eBay sales of this book is comparable to that price, $2 to $4, and there isn't even a graded copy of this listed currently on eBay as of today's filming. Nor has there been a graded copy of 39 sold in the last 3 months on eBay. So this is not a wanted book.
It wouldn't be. I mean, especially now, it doesn't really fit into the whole Thanos thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or Infinity Gauntlet thing either. This is what I imagined Silver Surfer comics were.
This is what I was worried about. But you know what? I think that what happened is we know that at the end of 38, that Jim Starlin was going to start working on Thanos Quest. And I think this issue came out in between that time. I think this was a one-off thing. They needed to have a filler issue so that he could focus on
those are big
with Ron Lim.
Yeah.
And sure enough, at the end of this issue, they even mentioned that. I think if there is one thing we can walk away from with this issue is that, actually, I kind of have a bone to pick with Silver Surfer right now.
What would that be?
I think he's kind of a moron.
I got that feeling too.
I read this issue and I thought, I'll give Silver Surfer credit that he has a different writer. And maybe there was some miscommunication in what's happened, and they just thought they were just going to throw together some cool fight sequence. But, man, issue after issue.
It's a character flaw of the Silver Surfer.
clearly that he's not very...
Almost every single issue, he has kind of run in half-cocked, not thinking about what he's doing. He just kind of flies in and shoots Thanos with his Silver Surfer beams, and he ends up getting trounced every time he gets stomped on. And he still hasn't learned his lesson.
He doesn't stop.
Mm-mm.
He even... So he's flying... And he spots this, I think it's an asteroid, where this civilization is living, where they're having these gladiator, Roman Colosseum type of matches. And he even says, like, as he's, you know, getting away, there's something that happens where he gets called back. And he's like, it's probably a trap.
I should go back anyway, though.
But I'm just going to go back and check, just in case, because, you know, what if?
These evildoers must be stopped. Like,
it's like he has so much pride in doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But... he just fails to realize that everything he does is wrong. Even to the point where, like, right now in this story, we have to assume that he thinks, I just saved the universe from Thanos. I just killed him.
Yeah.
I'm telling everyone I killed him. Everything's good. I'm the man. Check it out.
Basically.
But he's wrong again. I don't know. I don't. I definitely don't care for this flaw because it's not believable. Not someone who has had this much experience and time in the universe.
I like the fact that he has a flaw. I think that makes more characters more interesting. But yeah, like you said, he's been around the block. He should know all this stuff. He should know better by now.
It's pretty poor.
He doesn't know better.
Pretty poor. Well, there was a portion of this book, though, that I really did enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the letters to the editor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually quite a bit of fun because at this point, we've covered from issues 34 to 39.
Yep, this is
including this podcast here. And we've been reading them all digitally.
Yep.
And there's, aside from the ads that you're missing.
Those are fun.
Which are fun.
Those are a lot of fun.
I mean, you know, there was an ad for a monkey in one of the ones before here. There was also in this particular issue, which I thought was fun. You mentioned this. There's a convention, the New York Comic Con convention of 1990, held June 1st through the 3rd. And doesn't it say the price on here?
It was this other one in Southern California. It's like halfway through the book.
Okay, so there's actually two. You're right. There's another
ad right on top of it. There's Chicago.
Chicago Comic-Con here. And one of them had a price. How much was that price?
Admission, $2.50.
Boom.
Dealer table, $40 for a dealer table. I don't know what those cost now, but I imagine...
You know, that's actually a pretty, if it's a really small convention, a dealer table can be like 40, 20, 40, maybe $100. But I'm talking really small. These are probably the larger conventions of the year. I mean, it's making the comic book.
It's in SoCal, man. It should be a big deal.
Yeah, no, California, that's a big deal, especially 1990. We're talking a lot of comics coming out at that time. So it was hopping. But it's kind of fun. Ads are cool. But there's another thing in here, and that's the letters to the editor.
Those are fun.
And you know what? We did a podcast about Silver Surfer 36. And in that issue, one of our main questions, one of the things that we thought was most funny about that issue, is that She-Hulk runs into Silver Surfer at the Fantastic Four headquarters.
Avengers headquarters.
The Avengers headquarters. Yep. And she doesn't recognize Silver Surfer, thinks that he may be a villain, and attacks him upon introduction.
Right in the head, exactly.
Just straight up hits him. And it's a funny little sequence of events because Captain America's like, you need to go do your homework.
Obviously, that's Silver Surfer.
He's a good guy. So we thought that's strange that she didn't remember him. We think it's kind of funny, you know, that she's got to go back and do some homework that Cap's reading her. But, you know, we're not the only ones who thought this was funny. Back in 1990, the fans thought this was funny.
So we got Dear Jim, Ron, Tom, and Craig. Silver Surfer 36 was another fine issue. The Return of the Impossible Man was a well-deserved breather after all the Thanos stuff. I disagree, but, you know, he's welcome to his opinion. I like the idea of Thanos and Drax being alive, and also the recurring character of Impy. I was a bit surprised that She-Hulk didn't recognize Silver. Sure, he hasn't been on Earth lately, but once you see someone and work together, you rarely forget them. Cap even recognized him. To tell you the truth, yes, the Silver Surfer and Avengers work together, but don't you think the first place Silver would go is the FF? He knows them better than the Avengers. Anyway, despite that little criticism, Silver Surfer continues to be one of my favorites. The story and art are terrific as well.
Thank you so much, Dylan. We appreciate you writing that letter in 1990.
Yeah, 30 years ago. Hope you're doing all right, Dylan. If you're watching this, thank you.
You just gave us some really good content, and I really appreciate you. So the response to the letter is, as for She-Hulk and her little amnesia problem, there's a very simple explanation. Read on. You see, in the second letter that they put on here, it says here that, now, this is actually from John from Louisiana. He reads, "Now, after 20-odd years of reading Mighty Marvel, I attempt a no prize." Now, side note, I want to explain what a no prize is.
Please do. Doesn't sound that cool.
No, it doesn't. But a no prize in Marvel, I mean, at this time, we had, Marvel was a community. It was a huge community. And the specifically Stan was determined to grow it. Mm-hmm. And part of their ways, you know, is a lot of different marketing, you know, things, a lot of different marketing ideas were getting thrown around. And one of the ways that they marketed was, hey, if you guys can, if the community sends in letters with spotting an error in the comic or maybe answering something correctly, we're going to do something really nice for you. We're going to send you a no prize. Like, you're going to get a prize. But there would be no prize. It's a joke, but there are, you know, you can go online and see stories of people who talk about receiving a package in the mail from Marvel that literally says, this is your no prize. It's like a letter. It's like, hey, it's your
just
no
like
prize.
A postcard or something?
Yeah, like, it's like a, it's a letter or a postcard.
You don't win.
You don't win anything, but good job.
But you kind of did.
But he did. And, cool. You know, this is someone who apparently got a no prize. So he said, but at the end, it says that he got a no prize. But he says, I'm going to attempt to win a no prize. In issue 36, She-Hulk confronts the Silver Surfer as though for the first time. We all know they've met previously in issue number one. The reason? Well, as we have seen in the past, but, you know, don't ask me for specifics, Jen sometimes wears what appear to be reading glasses. She may have just come back from a recent eye exam and her eyes were a bit blurry from the drugs that had been put in her eyes. Top this off with the fact that Silver Surfer's skin reflects light and may alter his coloration to the naked eye, i.e. in issue number one. Jen sees him under a blue sunny sky in outer space and in number 36 under the lights in Avengers headquarters, giving him a slightly different appearance depending on where he is. Or maybe She-Hulk just awakened from a nap when the alarms went off, or maybe both. It's funny, but you know what? They decided to include that in there.
He got a prize.
And he got a prize.
He got a no prize. He didn't get a prize.
Well, it says here, keep, this is the response from Marvel. Yep. Keep your eyes on your mailbox, John, because your ultra contrived no prize is on the way.
Success.
Success.
So if he's right and she is that handicapped with like her eyesight, she's that blurry and unreliable, like, I don't know who that is, but I better just punch him in the face anyway, just in case they're bad.
That's not good.
Don't have that person on your team. That's get her some glasses.
At least don't have her, you know, don't have her doing security on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Maybe Sunday.
Or ever.
And you know what? That's issue 39.
That's it. This was the best part. The letters at the end.
The letters at the end made us
provided the most enjoyment.
We enjoyed it. And we enjoy you. We appreciate you for watching.
Yes, we do.
As you know, I'm your host, Comic Tom.
And I'm Ryan.
Please.
Geek responsibly.
Enough. Set! Make sure to hit that thumbs up and that subscribe button if you haven't done that already. And then remember, you can go to geekstreet101.com to sign up for my mystery mail call where I send you comic books monthly.